Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Yeah, we can say happy about this one. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday.
In the loop. Happy June 27th to you, to all my folks to celebrate. Go ahead and enjoy a DJ Screw Day. We're going to have a fun, funky Friday, as we always do in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Already getting going on the text line where you can get involved with the program, 713-572-4610. And also appreciation to the Mo Karam Injury Lawyer live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch, 610 Houston. The 832 says the Astros are celebrating June 27th as well, Reggie.
They are.
That's right. Like, they, I think that they have, like, it's a pop-up shop of sorts.
The Texans are doing that.
Texans are as well. That's right. I did see that.
Yeah, Texans are going to be selling all kinds of stuff.
So, we might, part of the celebration might be popping over to some team stores and getting some screwed up click merch for your favorite Houston teams. But, yeah, man, we're going to have a day and a half today in the loop, so make sure you rock with us. Somebody said they want to sip Screw. All right, you can do that too. However you celebrate, go ahead and get into what you get into, as long as it does not impede on anybody else's freedom and does not get you fired, because that's one thing you don't get fired on, especially on a Friday, baby, like in front of this weekend. Yeah. Don't do that. Brandon Scott should be sliding through.
Got fired on your day off.
All right, Lopez, I see you got some versatility in there. Yeah. I see it. But yes, B. Scott should be sliding through to celebrate the day, but then also just to hang out with us, as he will on Fridays moving forward. So we'll catch him in the 11 o'clock hour. But I would also like to go back before DJ Screw Day to a Hunter Brown Day, which is another holiday of mine's, whenever Hunter Brown is on the mound.
It's turning into that, isn't it?
It is that. Yeah. Not turning. We're there now.
Yeah, we're there.
We are 100% there. The Astros get a sweep of the Philadelphia Phillies, a 2-1 victory. That made me feel great, especially even though I had 9 hot dogs and technically 10 shots of tequila.
Let's pause real quick, because the people want to know, need to know. We're going to get to the Astros, and something that I kind of feel weird saying.
Sean, I'm going
to
hold off your holiday about just a little bit longer, because I think you'll enjoy this.
Yeah, he will, and he's going to enjoy it like red stripes.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so I did indeed complete the 9 shots and 9 hot dogs for the 999 challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to be honest, it was easier than I thought it would be.
That's like, crazy.
Here's the thing that I'm going to do. And to be fair, I realized afterwards, watching back, because I'm on Instagram, I tried to kind of document it every 3 innings. And what I realized is, I documented myself talking about eating the hot dogs, and I there was a few shots that I showed. I can say that you, yourself, Lopez, Figgy, y'all saw me eat and drink the first 2. Sean, you saw the other one.
Oh, I was with you in the middle innings of the game.
Yeah. But Johnny and Creighton, because I came in here and checked in with them.
I don't doubt you.
I just want to make sure. Hey,
we don't believe you. We need more people.
All right, very good. Thank you, Jay-Z. I'm not going to lie, and this is the hot take of it. I think I could have doubled up to a shot every half inning.
Oh, wow.
You think you could have done 18 shots?
I think I could have.
And 9 hot dogs.
I felt that good on the back end.
Your stomach would take it easily. I mean, the shots, that's the big thing.
And, that's right.
And you and I texted
just
about
a little
this
bit
afterwards.
Of,
the beer, and I felt this all along when I proposed the 999 challenge on our show, with the 9 being beers instead of shots. I respect the shots for sure, more so, but just the effect they would have. The beer is the difference maker.
Agreed.
The whole thing. Like, I ate 5 hot dogs during the same shindig. You and I, you know, we had a big party up here. And I ate 5 hot dogs just sitting watching the Astros game before you came in to say hi, eating your 4th or 5th.
That's right.
Like, just sitting around eating, you know?
I think a low-key, you know, check mark for you in this case is they were not hot dogs.
At the beginning. They had just started getting them going in the hot dog machine. Which makes it harder.
Yeah. Like just a nasty old cold hot dog. It's like.
And that's fair. Someone said all the bread was soaking up the liquor. So maybe maybe I re-engage with another time. However, I am talking about this.
18 shots though, Reggie?
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt so clean on the back end of it that I was like, I feel like there should have been another
level. We got to
see
how big these shots are too.
No, I was watching them. It was announced.
So you could do 18 of those.
Games are shorter nowadays, too. I mean, if you catch a... Respect that you did it during a game like this that's 2-1 also.
Yeah,
like,
faster.
The best thing you can do is catch like an 8-7 game and space things out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And 18 shots. Anytime I get into that realm of shots, I think about my 21st birthday where you had to do 21 shots. You know who gave me my last shot, John?
Oh, you told me Tony Rice. Yeah, you told me once.
Tony Rice, quarterback of the Irish and Catholics versus Convicts.
You've got so many great stories.
Last thing, because you're on vacation and I don't want to impede that.
Yeah, it's okay.
Red Stripe beer tastes better in Jamaica.
Yes, okay.
It absolutely Heineken tastes better in Holland. Mexican beer tastes better in Mexico. I don't know what it is.
I've been to Jamaica one time. It's all I drank was Red
Stripe. I don't know what it is. I
haven't drank a single one back here in the mainland at all.
Red Stripe, I don't know if it's because it's made there, it's fresher, whatever. Red Stripe tastes better in Jamaica.
There is Red Stripe. I booked a limo to get from the airport to our hotel, which is 90 minutes away.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to. It's a big vacation. I don't want to ride with
other
people.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I double checked. Red Stripe in the limo.
Getting going before the spot.
You
love to see it.
I know this is a safe bet, but I need some social media with the Red Stripes.
I will.
That's what I'm most jealous of. Like, it's just so good there.
Yeah. I won't be on the social as much as we are when we go on those long road trips, just because I won't be at games and stuff. It's like, here's me drunk on the beach again.
That's good enough.
It gets old.
That's good enough.
I will tweet out some Red Stripe just for you. I'll tag you on it.
Thank you.
Very good. All right, so the one thing
else. We can collab.
There you go.
As they say.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing I'll say before we actually get back to talking about the actual baseball that was played by a man who I think is climbing up the ranks here in Hunter Brown. I've talked about how easy it was. However, is this some level of counter to my own feeling on this? So as I told you, I was coming in here back into the studio as Bajani and Creighton were holding down the drive yesterday and just giving them updates at the end of segments or what have you. And after one of the segments, you know, that studio door is very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to slide out.
I have to use my body sometimes.
Right. I was about to slide out of the studio, and I think PC was saying one more thing. I tried to catch the door and hold it open real quick, and I think I kind of missed. Can you describe what my index finger looks like right now, John Lopez?
Is it red and purple? It sure does look red and
purple.
Show
it to the camera.
Yeah.
It got caught in the door.
Oh, no.
And
that's the worst.
I didn't feel like I was drunk. However, this is the type of thing that a drunk person does.
That's exactly what you were drunk.
If anybody has a feeling that maybe Reggie is...
It's more red than purple. It should be bruising.
I mean, there's some blood pooling that's happening on there. Yeah, so, that was my 999, but it all felt great because another sweep of the Phillies. The Astros, again, continuing to push themselves further up and up in the AL West and in the AL in general. Mm-hmm. 6.5 games up of the Mariners. I mean, this thing is just going off. You're halfway through the season, and this team looks phenomenal. And Lopez, I think you have a take on how good this Astros team is.
Yeah, I do. Tell me if this is even – when I thought this and then I put it down for us to chat about, I thought, well, that's not going to go over real well. Or maybe it will. You tell me. I think the Astros are better off without Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman, and Ryan Presley this season.
It feels wild to say that. And I would I'd agree, but if I was going to individualize that, there's one or two of those guys that I feel more comfortable about saying that than all three altogether.
Let me individualize it for
okay.
you. And let's see if we can kick this around. First of all, there's the salary relief that you get just in terms of money that you're spending on players that, you know what I mean?
It's not my money.
No, exactly.
Shout out to my gospel. It's not my money. So that part's not going to hit.
It's not my money.
I mean, that's true. Figgy does it so well. That's true. But let's set that aside. Cam Smith was accelerated to the big leagues because of Kyle Tucker. If you had to just draw a line, it was Kyle Tucker leaving, Cam Smith going to right field, right? Cam Smith is kicking ass right now. I mean, he absolutely is, and he's going to get better. He's getting better every day, and you have control, and he could be a star.
Sure, but that's all projection. If we're just talking about the first half of the season.
He's playing his ass off.
Kyle Tucker is a better player.
No, Tucker is a better player.
Without question. Now, the one thing that you might be able to say is last year at this point, Kyle Tucker was not a better player because Kyle Tucker was an injured player.
Yes.
Right? Maybe that's the place that you could come from.
Yeah.
And outside of that,
that bruised leg, huh?
That ultimately ended up being a little bit more. Not going to lie, I did think about that when I basically bruised my finger. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, did I break it? Do I need to go look at something?
But put you on the injury
did it hurt
report.
That much?
Strained finger.
I mean, for really? the first good while, like, I went and grabbed
finger
a beer.
Soreness?
Yes. Yeah. Finger a discomfort,
finger
really.
Finger
discomfort. I might lose
it. In other words, he's losing it.
Yeah. Tommy John.
No, but.
Tommy John.
Yeah, he did have that. But yeah, I think that's the only thing you could use for me. Like, that's the one where I'm not going to get there. That, like, they're in a better place without Kyle Tucker in that particular place. But as you talked about.
But without Kyle Tucker, you're getting Cam Smith and you're getting him early. You're getting control. You're getting, a guy that's producing, can run, all that stuff. Now, I know Kyle Tucker could run. But that's one. That's one right there.
So you saying it's better for the future?
It's better this year and for the future.
Yeah, you get me on it this year. You're not going to walk me there. However,
it is better for the future.
It's 100% better for the future. I mean, we knew mm-hmm. Kyle Tucker was the Astros mm-hmm. organization had peeved him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was not long for this because of a perceived disrespect that I don't think he was wrong on.
Right.
The future? Prospect to Cam Smith,
mm-hmm.
love it. He's looked fantastic at defense with the range. You talked about his speed on the base pass.
Yeah.
He's even coming around just swinging the bat generally.
Mm-hmm.
81 games to the season, Kyle Tucker gets it. I have a feeling that you're not gonna have to twist my arm nearly as much with these other two.
Isak Paredes, he's as good and maybe a better overall player in 2025 than a very good Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman is playing some outstanding baseball. But understand, Bregman has played 52 games. He's been hurt. Paredes has played 77, I believe. And as much as you look at batting average, on-base percentage, OPS, slight check mark to Bregman, Paredes has more home runs, more RBI, more runs, and get this, more walks.
Yeah, no, that's been the – Like, that was one of the big things we were talking about when we were talking about the additions mm-hmm. in free agency that you traded for Isak. He came over in the Kyle Tucker trade. And that's where you might be able to get me on the Kyle Tucker. You don't have Isak without the Kyle Tucker trade going
well, that
out,
too,
right?
Yeah.
But those guys, him and Christian Walker, which, okay, mm-hmm. we could deal with that later. But they are more patient hitters. And as a team, becoming more patient hitters was going to work not just for the individuals, but to help the rest of them around them.
Yeah.
Because – With Bregman, the idea is he's a great clubhouse guy. He helps, gives guys tips, what have you. This is another way to help your team.
Mm-hmm.
Take more pitches, work a pitcher a little bit longer, make it easier for them to, get out of the game, get to the pen. That's the type of stuff that Paredes does. And on top of that, his defense has been phenomenal to the point where, could you see him being a Gold Glover this year?
He's in the mix. For the longest stretch, I want to say 40-something games, he didn't have a single error. He didn't have a error, none.
I thought he was going to be an average fielder and then a fantastic guy at the plate, especially with that pull power. He's been even better than that. He's been one of the guys that's metronomic for this team. Huge.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get to another spot here. And I think this one's huge. When you talk about Ryan Pressly, had Ryan Pressly been here, I don't think this bullpen would be number one as settled as it is. It's a settled bullpen with defined roles. And I don't think it would be as filthy. You have very defined, Abreu, look at Abreu yesterday, and Hader, perfection is good, right? 21 for 21 on saves. And then you have to think about Brian King, what he's done.
Yep.
Caleb Ort, Bennett Sousa. They would all be pushed down, if not even in the rotation in the bullpen, if Pressly was still here.
And for me, you're right in all those things. I think the biggest thing for me is just the bullpen has almost entirely, well, maybe not almost entirely, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Largely lost the element of kind of, oh boy, here we go again,
mm-hmm.
right? Like CJ for San Andreas. Like we walk into this and your bullpen comes in. I feel great about it now. And that is 81 games in, halfway through the season. It's a real 180 for me personally. Mm-hmm. And maybe you could just say I didn't know ball at the beginning of the season. You could say that. Go for it. But I felt like, hey, a young pen that you're coming in and asking them to play above what I think the expectation or the reasonable expectation was early. You come in and they do it. Like, again, salute to the Astros as an organization dealing with pitching. Salute to Joe Espada, because that is a manager's responsibility, knowing the
Espada
right...
Espada on the better eye of the plate. That was one of his emphases.
Yes.
Yeah.
Knowing the right guy to put in at various circumstances out of the pen. And those guys have all delivered in a way that is comfortable, that is consistent, that you know what you're getting out of the pen. That's huge.
I got one more for you. And this is more of a sort of organic kind of, it's hard to put numbers on. But would Jeremy Peña be the clear leader he is now? And would he be the player he is now if he hadn't had to have been thrust into that role without Bregman and Tucker?
Yeah, and that's a great question that I don't think I can have an answer to, but if I was going to guess, I say no.
Yeah.
Like, that space is going to be occupied to some degree in that clubhouse, and what's the saying? Necessity is the mother of invention.
And he has embraced the role.
He has.
In every way.
And he's always been capable of it. I think Mauricio Dubon has kind of been very open and honest about that. He's always felt like this is the guy, both on the field and in the clubhouse, that he could be. And he's become that. Bar none on the YouTube, Peña took Tucker's place. Smith took Peña's place. Paredes took Bregman's place. Basically the same team as last year. Yeah. And even then, that is impressive, because you can go back to the first thing that you talked about, Lopez. The money that it takes to get that level of production is different. And maybe it's more impactful this year because you've had less from the surroundings of the Astros to ultimately get you to this place. You're a below league average offense, but you're a timely offense, and you get exactly what you need, and that's outside of the defense that you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, all of it still adds up to a good amount of wins, comfortable lead in your division, and being halfway through the season, a team that everybody has to look at as a real contender to do something special, including hoisting the commissioner's trophy at the end of the year.
Real quick, earlier this year, we asked the question, who was going to step up as the leader?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all kind of had different answers. Who do you feel like is that leader right now?
I think they look to Jeremy Peña. Leadoff role, defense, clearly, an altogether different player. Would you say it's him? Obviously, still Altuve. I mean, that's a separate category.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say.
We was kind of talking about that a little earlier, because he's kind of he was that kind of quiet leader.
He's
a little bit
more vocal.
He's a little more vocal. Yeah. I think I mentioned Peña should be the one to step up. I think one of us mentioned
Christian Walker, but he's just having a bad year.
Yeah, so I was wondering, who is that guy now?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, me personally, I went to Altuve. It's obvious, but also, like, I had a little bit of doubt that he was going to be this type of leader, and he's answered the bell in what you need. And also, again, maybe I'm being a little heavy-handed with it. I think outside of the actual players, Joe Espada deserves a lot of credit for being at the helm and steering this thing perfectly, as there's been a number of things that you've had to manage. And here you are, managing all of them.
Yeah.
And continuing to, you're still navigating those waters as we speak.
Yes.
And you're
looking a lot better. Marginally.
Sweeping good teams and stepping up to the plate against the Cubs team that I think is going to challenge you, because they've got a little bit more offense and there's a little bit of emotion tied in with Kyle Tucker and Ryan Pressly returning to Daikin Park. So get ready for maybe waterworks. Definitely get ready for a video. And excited for what I hope is another series win, because they ain't lost one in all of June, if you didn't notice. Astros special. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, there was a statistician on Twitter that charted the best and worst play callers of the last 15 years. Where does Bobby Slowick rank, and what does it tell us? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, happy Friday to you. Happy Screw Day to you. In the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula. That's Figgy Fig hanging out with you. Appreciate you, Horace, on the YouTube page. Said, I heard the Astros are doing something for Screw Day. Are they? I remember last year they did the special merchandise.
Yeah,
I
they posted that. Something.
They posted some, but it's the Texans that have the pop-up and all that.
Yeah.
Really cool stuff.
Dude. Yeah, the Astros posted something recently. I wasn't sure what it was, though.
Yeah.
didn't know if they were selling something or just saying happy screw day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the least. You got to at least make sure that you say happy screw day. It matters here.
One point, that wasn't happening like that. That's the crazy part.
Well, I mean, on their Instagram, they did point out that the DJ Screw Collection is live exclusively at the Centerfield Team Store.
There you go.
So if you head out to Daikin Park, you'll get some more Screw merchandise. Some of it with that that old school, the gold star as well. They got the screwed up tape off the back of a you know, what looks like a, is that a jacket, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. They got some real dope Chopped and Screwed merchandise the Astros do.
I really like that the teams do this, man.
Oh, you have to
This
here.
Is dope, man.
You have to here.
Nah, for sure.
Like, but they didn't. You're right. They because didn't for years.
Yeah, a lot of teams, I mean, I don't know. A lot of teams probably wouldn't do something like this. But it's cool that they embrace something so special in Houston like that.
It's a necessity. I mean, in this town in particular, man, like, it's such a unique place where we have such a particular culture. And that's one of the easy ways to make it very evident that these teams are ours. And so happy screw day. Go ahead and get you some merch. At least the Astros are doing. I'll have to go and double check and make sure and see what the other things are so we can shout it out if you are getting active on this screw day. So I mentioned this, teasing it in, that there is a statistician. His name is Joseph Bryan. I saw him just kind of cruising around on Twitter, and he used, and this is, you got to use the disclaimer, he used PFF grades as part of this, but he also used play calling data dating back the last 15 years in the NFL, and he created scores on how well a play caller influenced every regular season. So again, I'm using it, he's a statistician, but obviously always methodology and these types of things have to come in play when you're looking at it, and there's a level of still room for judgment and interpretation.
Yeah.
But with this, an interesting thing emerged, which is, you know, Joe Brady, we're ranked really highly. Does that feel like that tracks? Joe Brady, offense coordinator with the Bills.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson tracked ranked second. Feel good. Liam Cohen third. Mm-hmm. Feels like that makes sense, right? 32nd when it came to 2024 coaching scores by play caller.
So this is just 2024.
2024. 32nd out of 32.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guess who it is? And I think you understand who it is by the way that I've set this up.
Well, the way you set it up, I want to say Bobby Slowick.
It is indeed one Robert Slowick.
32nd?
30, literally the worst offensive play caller by these metrics. He went even further looking at some interesting notes. Andy Reid was rough this year, which that tracks. That
too,
offense
didn't
look all that great, which that might be something that's something worth looking forward to with the Texans is, are the Chiefs, are you finding where a great coach maybe starts losing his edge, right? Yeah. That's maybe something for another day. Bobby Slowick scored out as the worst passing play caller, not just this year, but since 2010.
Dang.
15 years of play calling data, and by these metrics, Bobby Slowick was literally the worst play caller in these 15 years.
That's hard to believe, man.
Well, you know why it's hard
to believe? Is it? Do you watch them games?
But you got the Cleveland Browns, man. You mean one of those offensive coordinators?
When Freddie Kitchens was the head coach?
Yeah, dude. You mean one of those offensive coordinators wasn't worse?
You're missing the most obvious one. You have Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien?
Have Bill O'Brien.
You're putting me in a weird place to defend Bill O'Brien. And maybe I should just be smart and not do that at all.
Awful.
Go on and do it.
Bill O'Brien's offense did not help make the players better. However, with the players that you had, like, they could exhibit their dominance, right? Like, I don't think that he was inherently a terrible play caller. I think for Bill O'Brien, he was a terrible people manager, which is really weird that he wanted to usurp and take more power
Lopez
in that space.
Lopez is cringing right now, man. He's about to leave and start his vacation early.
I'm not here to tell you that Bill O'Brien is a great NFL coach by any means. I don't think that he was terrible.
He was terrible.
Okay.
He was terrible. He was terrible. Bailed out by Deshaun Watson a lot of times. Obviously, you know, there was a little bit
had a really good defense at one point.
Had a really good defense at some point. Wade Phillips obviously was in there at one point helping him out. No. Nevertheless, I just to say that Bobby Slowick was worse than Bill O'Brien is all you need to hear in this city.
Sure.
Yeah. And by the way, this is, you say it's data and all that, but this is pretty intense research too in terms of how the play, you know, that was designed ends up working, you know, the way they carried it out, et cetera. It's execution, as coaches like to say. I still find it kind of hard to believe that he was.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Right, and that's the thing. From the 979 on the text line, everybody knows he was terrible. Quit kicking the dead horse and move on. I think looking at the situation,
it was terrible. Mm-hmm. But I would have never thought that he was the worst out of everybody in the league.
Did they have the worst offense
in the league? Like, as far as like numbers?
No.
And yeah. I think that's the thing. But ultimately, the thing I wanted to get to is then off of the backside of that is, what does that tell us about what we've seen? Well, first and foremost, I think C.J. Stroud, it again highlights mm-hmm. one of the things we've talked about, which is the ways in which people have talked about a slump really underestimates the amount of
unfair
trying to mm-hmm. bring back to level that mm-hmm. he had to do just from his position of what he was dealing with. Right. There was that. Is there are there any other players or any other things that you like are recontextualized when we put it in those stark terms that Bobby Slowik was doing one of the worst jobs of play calling that we've seen in the last decade and a half?
Yeah, the very first thing that popped into my mind, normally it's a cliche, but I think it's literal in this case. It can't be worse. The offense this year, the play calling this year cannot be worse than DFL. It just can't.
I was like, who's DFL? Oh.
So, is that hope? I mean, is that? And it, boy, Bobby Slowik. I mean,
I would have never thought that.
We knew
that,
it
man.
Wasn't great. But last?
Some of the other things that I was, because, like, yes, that is a fair point. Because one of the things that I've had questions, and it does give me a little bit of calm coming into the Nick Caley era is just, okay, you have a first-time play caller. What kind of mistakes are mm-hmm. possible there with the lack of experience? But when you just have somebody who's done such a poor job, you do look up and you go, even as maybe you're taking your knocks, you're right. It probably is a better circumstance. Now, how does that also match up with, you know, what you have with the talent on the offensive line in particular, so on and so forth? We've had those conversations. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, there is a level of comfort there. Even some of the guys that maybe we have had negative views toward, like someone like maybe a Dalton Schultz. Mm-hmm. Does this give you any confidence that maybe you can wring more out of him because he was not necessarily being utilized as well as possible within the schematics of what's happening?
I'll take it a step further. The offensive line. You know, we don't know how good this offensive line is. The league is saying they're doubting this offensive line. But the most important part of play calling is the execution and technique, which is what some buzzwords that they've been using a lot over there lately.
Right.
Is the offensive coordinator. The offensive coordinator is the most, his most important job is getting the line to play at just an average level. So it gives me confidence there. Obviously, I think it gives me confidence with the tight end, especially with a Patriots styled offense that leans heavily on the tight end. It gives me confidence about the run game. You know, with or without Joe Mixon. Absolutely it gives you some more confidence.
Brother,
I don't know how much.
Man, I'm still on this offensive coordinator thing, man. I'm looking at Nathaniel Hackett.
That's a great – all right, who's the worst offensive coordinator that you recall in the last 15 years?
Well, apparently Bobby Slowik.
No, but I'm saying, like, let's have the fun
he
with
was
it.
He was worse than Nathaniel Hackett.
Nathaniel Hackett is a great – like, you are leading the clubhouse. That is I flopped.
Yeah.
I flopped a straight, right? Like, that's what you
and
did
And I know
there.
Bobby was bad, but damn.
And this is a question that is fair to be asked, but I think it requires a little recontextualization from the 8-3-2. What happened from year one to year two with the offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowik? I think one thing to remember is in the moment, the framework matters. And so you were looking at a rookie quarterback and you were looking at an opportunity to go and win the division, mm-hmm. right? And all of that kind of framed certain things in some ways. But that offense wasn't incredible year one. It was just better than where you had previously been, and it ramped up towards the end of the season to where you had better feelings on the back end of it. was not a great offense. You could not scheme up the run, if you recall, from that year, right? That's a huge part, half of the offensive process.
Mm-hmm.
And so year two was maybe more of a degradation of year one, but I don't think that like you could say this as, well, this is a stark difference from year one. It wasn't great under Bobby Slowik at any point. You were just hoping that, okay, year one, there's reasons, there's excuses that one can make, and then year two made it clear that those excuses were not palatable and tangible.
I'm still with you, Figgy. I'm looking up bad offense coordinator.
Matt Canada is a good one. Shout out to the late one there.
Matt Canada is the one that I looked up.
And who was the coordinator for the Bears last year? It was Shane
Waldron. Shane Waldron was a good answer.
Like, was he
there.
Better than Bobby Slowik?
Apparently.
Seems like it. In fact, let me see exactly where he fell on this particular, of course, an inexact science, but Shane Waldron came in 21st.
Okay.
Getsy last year came in 31st, and he was dealing with, Aiden O'Connell as a quarterback and such. Arthur Smith ranked higher.
Oh, yeah, Arthur
by a
Smith,
couple.
Yeah,
man, that's it's incredible when you have it in those terms. Yes, we can say that we understood it to this point.
Daniel Hackett, man.
And, of course, inexact science. However, that inexact science points to you having literally the worst offensive coordinator of the last decade and a half. That was a jarring thing. And, again, that's another thing that if you want to look at it one way, you can look backwards and say, dang, that's what you're dealing with. But you can look forward and say, that should give
can't
you
be
an
worse.
Opportunity. Can't be worse, but also there's a lot of room to grow there. That is a huge place and opportunity for development and growth.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, just maybe, if you get like below average is fine, right? Because, again, you were dealing with worse.
Right.
If you get average level play calling, hell, if you get if you hit the jackpot and you get above average level play calling, where does this
you could
go?
Creep up in the top 15.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it,
and you're
if
happy.
It truly was
and
Bobby,
you're happy. Yeah.
So yeah, found that to be very fascinating when I was scrolling Twitter yesterday. But there you go. you were dealing with as Lopez says DFL last year. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, again, happy June 27th to you. If you are a fan of the Screwed Up Click and DJ Screw, it is Screw Day. We celebrate it here in Houston like it's a bona fide real holiday, even though everywhere else is just a Friday. And that got me thinking. Question of the day. What else do you celebrate like it is a bona fide real holiday, even if you're not getting the day off for it? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it, Nick. A little Sly in the Family Stone on your Friday. Happy Friday to you. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atula. Figgy Fig hanging out with you. Let's get to the question of the day on this DJ Screw Day. Happy Screw Day to you to all who celebrate June 27th. Is when you'll hear, or when at least me personally, as I celebrate Screw Day, I will listen to all 35 minutes of the June 27th.
You really do?
I really do. I try and make it a point every June 27th to find some time to put 35 minutes of that thing, let it roll. And so that got me thinking, what do you celebrate like it is a bona fide real holiday, whether you get a day off or not? In fact, bonus points if you actually do take a day off work. For something that not inherently a holiday, because I think that's always great. 713-572-4610.
I'm telling you right now, well, there's several that I like. First of all, today is kind of something that you celebrate like a holiday.
Why is that?
And it's different for different people. It's your last day at work before you go on vacation. Like a real vacation.
Yeah.
That's you celebrate like a holiday. I mean, I'm going full Deontay Johnson.
I checked out mentally. I just went. It was bad timing. Checked out mentally.
Oh, that's what time it is?
Yeah, just checked out.
Thank
mentally.
God B. Scott is coming in next segment. He said, I'm out of here, brother.
Hey, yeah, if you can hit that again. How's Lopez today?
I checked out mentally. I just went. It was bad timing. Checked out mentally.
Just bad timing.
It's just bad timing. But the last day before you go on vacation, that's a holiday.
That is fair. That is fair. But are you celebrating? Are you like? Is there...
Oh, yeah, I'm celebrating.
Okay, very good.
Like even to the point where I was kind of in my thoughts, you know, doing stuff for the show today because I really am not checked out. But anyway, I was in my thoughts doing stuff for the show this morning, and I walked in to get my cup of bone broth that I drink every morning, and my wife was standing there, and I said, hey. She goes, you're going on vacation, and that's the best you got? I said, good morning. I was just kind of lost in my thoughts. I said, hey.
The wife don't even get a good morning. All right, very good. Some answers that have come in on YouTube, interestingly enough. First day of March Madness, Magic. So, yeah, that one's easy, right? Like, you might call in on that one. For me, the real opportunity, or what shows up as celebrating is, I got to get my setup ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I normally have three TVs. I try and make sure to pull in a fourth TV because I want to make sure that at any given point I could turn my head and see what's happening hoop-wise on that first day or two,
mm-hmm.
the first weekend of March Madness. Some other ones, start of regular season of all major sports. Which one of them hits the hardest for you? Is it NFL kickoff? Is it? It's definitely NBA.
This is an easy answer.
Opening day, right?
This is an easy
college.
Answer. First Saturday, first full Saturday of college football.
I knew it.
Dude, I don't know.
Week zero?
That's
week zero, well, is it for you?
First full Saturday. It might be week one, depending on the schedule, you know?
Opening day's better.
But no, it's not. Like, yep. To the point where
MLB opening day is better?
No.
Mm. Yes.
No, I love, don't get me wrong.
Bunting and the pomp and circumstance. Come on, dog. Are you un-American?
The spectacle of college football. To the point that I create, like, I barbecue all day. I've got,
remember to come, remind me to come to your house.
Kids
on that day,
and
by
people
the way.
Coming over, schedule all the games, put all the TVs on. First full day of college football. That is a holiday.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Fair enough. Some other ones that are coming in on the text line. 420. Blaze it, I guess. from the 713. Of course, I knew Ocho was going to come in with this in particular. Celebrate Hunter Brown Day like a holiday, especially if he pitches during lunch hours, like was yesterday. I celebrated it by eating a whole bunch of glizzies, apparently. But yes, it was. Look, that it's getting to that point where mm-hmm. Hunter Brown Day is a thing. From the text line, the 713 said WrestleMania weekend is a holiday. Fair enough. Like my friends in Wrestle, they love them. That WrestleMania coming up, like, yep. it is a big deal. Schedule their whole weekend. If you're going or you're trying to get a watch party together, that ends up being a big deal. Figgy, is there something for you that hits you like a holiday, even though it's not really a holiday?
Yeah, the ones that hit me, this was before I moved here, but we used to have a 216 day in Cleveland because that's the area code.
Oh, okay.
So it used to be different concerts, like local concerts and local artists and stuff like that. And then the other one personally is draft day, NFL draft day.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because I feel like the lead up, I feel like it's so drawn out.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the day comes, it's like, all right, it's draft day.
Yeah.
And just hearing the Sounders and all that stuff, to me, that's when it's like, all right, y'all, it's draft day. Who mm-hmm. we getting?
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. 281 Astros weekday games. Oh, wow. I'm guessing, are you weekday day games? Okay, I was about to say, like, just weekday in general. Now, day games at work kind of do hit different.
They
that is
do.
Fair.
Yeah. Yesterday.
Like, day, if you at work and you, at least if you have access to be able to stream it and watch it, or maybe if you just put the radio broadcast or what have you, man, that really does feel a little bit different. Or any, like, sports during the day in general has that feel. Because mm-hmm. I think that's part of what March Madness's appeal. I remember going back, I think 2014 in particular, when the World Cup, when they were in South
that's
Africa.
That's a big one, yeah.
Because the games were happening during the day. Like, and I had the opportunity to kind of access it. It just felt entirely different. So, yeah, daytime sports in general. For me, and this is going to be, like, obviously real Reggie niche sports sicko things, championship Sunday in soccer, which is the final regular season day where, you know.
I had the TV on all day.
Last movement,
obviously,
right?
Obviously, Liverpool was clinching and they were celebrating, so.
Yeah, it's and whenever you get to end of regular season, I'm just going to skip right past
they
that.
Had a
I get
great
it.
Celebration.
Your club won a championship this year. Fine. God. No, but you get to that last day of any regular season where they kind of have all the games stacked,
mm-hmm.
except week 18 in football, you got a lot of teams that are not trying.
Yeah.
Like, championship Sunday and when it comes to Premier League footy, everybody's fighting for something. Some of these teams are fighting to stay in the league.
Yeah.
Some of these teams are fighting for an opportunity to, like, get into tournaments mm-hmm. next year. And some of these teams are like, yo, this is our last ditch effort to try and win a championship.
Let me get a little bit of a pivot here because it is DJ Screw Day. What is your favorite Chopped and Screwed song?
Ooh, that's
tough. I believe there is a winner. And tell me if it's blasphemous.
Okay.
Isley Brothers, Between the Sheets. I periodically just, like, get in the mood driving. It just calms
I don't think
you.
He's supposed to tell us about you and Jan's relationship.
Well,
like
not that,
that
mood. Not that mood.
Y'all making love to this Chopped and Screwed version.
That actually,
well,
you
I'm
know.
Not gonna say, I'm not going to say.
I never thought about that.
You know.
I'm not going to say
you
never.
We might be talking about something here.
I'm not going to say never. But generally, I'm just, like, driving, want to chill. Come on, man.
All right, so my thing about this is this can't be the answer for me because Between the Sheets is such a heat rock in and of itself. I think the pace that it drives at is perfect. So you chop and screw it, and it feels like, we're dragging. To me,
no,
personally.
It's better chopped and screwed. There are certain songs that are just better. Like, it's smoother to me.
Yeah, and by the way, this song was an 8-minute song.
Oh, yeah.
Chopped and screwed.
Yeah. Hey, man, if you ain't got time to enjoy
about
the
7
song.
7 minutes too long.
If you don't got time to enjoy the song, you don't need to be in the chopped and screwed
lane. 8 minutes.
Interesting. I mean, you know the Chop Stars, obviously, Fig.
Like, yeah.
When you start talking to that space, I'm like, there's a lot of songs that I really like. One of the, I like the, I think it's a Drunk album by Thundercat. There's a couple of songs off of that one that really, make me, that I like as a Chopped and Screwed. And I think it's probably the one with Wiz Khalifa. I'm kind of blanking on the name right now. But that one's up there for me. From the 281, continue to talk about the days that you celebrate, like bona fide holidays, even if they're not. Black Friday, shopping, food, and football. That's fair. 713 says Marine Corps birthday, November 10th. Happy. Yeah, absolutely. Daytona 500 day. Okay, I feel you on that.
I can feel you on that, too. It wouldn't be necessarily a holiday for me, but it's a big one.
What about the, I don't know if this is like a official or unofficial, but I think it's called Go Texan Day.
Oh, yeah.
Right before the rodeo.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I like seeing the little kids dressed up in the hat and the boots and
going
all
to
that
school.
Stuff. Yeah,
that's a great
I love
call.
That.
Yeah.
Dang, that made me reminded me of a photo of my Go Texan Day way back in the day.
Somebody said Monday after Super Bowl, if only.
Don't get Lopez started.
If only.
Please, someone said Bill Collins in the air tonight chopping the screw. Oh, y'all got some stuff
in
here.
Oh, I got to check that one out.
Horace might be right, though, with 25 lighters chopped and screwed. That's tough. Yeah. Swang.
Trade the truth.
Yes, Swang, crazy. Anyways, you know what? You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I would like to ask that question of a bona fide Houston expert. How about Brandon Scott, B. Scott, who joins us on this Friday. We'll talk to him next as we go around the NFL.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.